Last three Sundays, we have talked about gospel on the ground. It means that we are actively going out in the name of Jesus, living a life like Jesus and exemplifying Him. You see, the gospel on the ground is about real life, true discipleship. It is about me not just talking about being a disciple, but me actually putting my discipleship into action by doing something. And the challenge that all followers of Jesus have, the challenge is to live not only like Him, but to live for Him. And when you think about those two things, like Him and for Him, it means that whatever He is about, I am about. If you're a disciple of Jesus, whatever Jesus is about, that's what you are about. And that means that when the boots hit the ground, when Jesus needs me to take care of something, I am there saying, Lord, I will be willing to do it. And it's not just talking about it, but it's also doing it. These four sermons, I started out by talking about be the change agent. Like change things. Frank talked about temptation last week. Man, don't you just hate temptation? All that stuff you'd like to do physically, and God's Word says you shouldn't do that. It's not really being a good disciple. In fact, Frank talked about it like this. He said, you know, temptation is the real deal. If disciples are willing to compromise with it, it will feast on us. And that's true. Temptation's not sin, but if you yield to the sin that you're being tempted to do, it will eat you alive. And that's what Frank, and that's what he meant. Do you still have your penny in your shoe, by the way? Yeah, don't change shoes. Yeah, change shoes, but change a penny too. Change socks for sure. You were challenged, put a penny to remind you to when you're tempted, not to be tempted, not to fall. Today we're going to talk, and then I talked about discovering the discipleship of doing. We asked you to go to the kiosk, and good grief, y'all took a lot of cards. There's a lot of things that are in place now for you to serve in this congregation and in this community. That's what being a disciple is about. It's about being on the ground, actively doing stuff, and thinking about what can God do through me every moment of our lives. Today I'm going to talk about a word to the wise. And let me challenge you to read the first three chapters of James every week for the next 6 weeks or so, honestly. There is more in those three chapters about us being mature disciples than you'll find almost anywhere else in the Bible. It is packed. There's no way we could have even covered the in-depth stuff that James writes in these three chapters. But today we're going to talk about our words. Because you see, if we are seriously going to pursue unchurched people, and when I say unchurched, that means if we're going to pursue lost people. Now, they may be somebody that believes in God, but they also may be an obedient person to God, but they don't have a church family to work through. The local church is God's place, guys, to get His ministry done. This is the command center where we are to go out and do what Jesus calls us to do and to be. So, if we're seriously going to reach people who need the Lord, our words must be used wisely. Now, you know that. I know that. Knowing and doing are very opposite things sometimes in our minds and our hearts. James says, if your tongue is out of control, your life is out of control. And I would add this, if your tongue is out of control, your spiritual life is really out of control. And that's what we're going to look at today. If I'm going to hit the ground as a disciple of Jesus, my words matter. Everything I think and everything I do matters, but my words matter very, very much. Because it is amazing how unwisely even a majority of Christians use words. Being a disciple of Jesus is being a living copy of the Master. I think like Him, I act like Him, I speak like Him. James, in the third chapter, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn in there. I'm not going to read it all to you. We're going to hit some high points. But when he starts, you might think you have an out. Because in chapter 3, he talks about being a teacher right away. And he says, don't be so quick to be a teacher, because teachers will be judged more severely. Now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't encourage many of you to teach the Word. Because in essence, the way we live is teaching or the Word or not. Okay? So what James is saying, he's trying to motivate some teachers that might be kind of stepping away from how they ought to be acting. But there are so many things that applies to those who do not teach that it's worth spending some time with. And here's the thing. He reminds the teachers that there's a serious nature that goes along with teaching God's Word. It has a grave responsibility with it. And you know what that is. My words, my teaching, my example that I live has eternal significance for people who I associate with. Sometimes with perfect strangers. And so my words are going to be very important to who I am in Christ Jesus. James includes himself in this. Look at these scriptural words that he uses. We all stumble in many ways. Now, he says we. He doesn't say y'all all stumble. He wouldn't say y'all anyway, would he? He wouldn't say you all stumble. He says we all stumble. I stumble, James is saying. And he says if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man. Well, if you don't have any faults at all in what you say, then you're perfect. And he says if you have control of your tongue, then you keep your whole body in check. But we don't think about that, do we? Every day when you're just living your life, do you ever think about this? I doubt it. Verse 35. No, I'm not there yet. I'm skipping. Y'all have to excuse me. I go crazy up here sometimes. Here's the thing. If I don't have that tongue in control, and I'm talking about spiritual control here, then I can't keep my body in check. So if your tongue's out of whack, your body's out of whack. But you know what? The tongue doesn't have a brain, does it? So where is the source? Where is the source? There must be a command center, and what the Bible teaches us is that it is about who we are inside. And here's how Jesus talks about it. Here I'm at 34. See, I wasn't far. Now, aha! James is saying don't talk bad about somebody or use your tongue. And he's calling people a brood of vipers. Well, they were. He's not speaking a mistruth. He's talking to religious leaders. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Now look, he says you're saying some good stuff, but in your actions you are evil. Got it? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, if my tongue speaks, my inner man has told it what to say. Look at the next. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Now, what good are you storing? What good am I storing in my life? If I'm going to say good words and do good deeds, I got to have good things in here. Otherwise, they will not happen. And he says, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So, James is reminding the teachers and the church that the tongue is a little intimidator. That's what I came up with. And he's going to explain what he means by that. Now, I've got a list of things up here that James is going to explain. He says, we take a little bit and we put it in a horse's mouth and we can lead that horse around. Now, that might not be true with a mule, because they don't have a brain anyway, I don't think. They are stubborn and they are hard to direct. But the idea is, this little bit makes a very powerful horse move one way or the other, go straight or back up or whatever you need him to do. And reversing a horse is kind of a neat thing. Then he says, the rudder on a ship. You take these huge ships and they got a small rudder comparatively to the size. And that rudder can turn that ship one way or the other. And then he says, he uses a spark. All of that thousands and thousands of acres and thousands of homes burned in California was because of a car that caught fire. Now, compared to what it burnt, that fire was small. You throw one little match, Smokey Bear says, don't throw a match out in the woods. Drown your fire. Why? A little spark will start a wildfire. And then he says, he reminds us that the tongue is a restless evil and it's full of deadly poison. Kind of like that little, what was that, a tomato frog, Frank? Full of poison. You bite him and he poisons you. Listen, this is how the tongue, how important it is. It's a little member, James says, but think about all the power that it has. It can either be good to get a horse to do what you need him to do, get a ship where it needs to go, but it can be evil. Look, 3 to 1, 3 to 2, bad things. And he's saying that the tongue is a very, very deadly weapon. Now, in verse 6, he says that, you know, humans tame animals all the time, wild animals, but in verses 7 through 12, he's going to say, no man can tame the tongue. Well, preacher, why are you up there flapping your jaws about the tongue if we can't tame it? All right, I have an answer for you. It is a restless evil. It is like a tomato frog. It is full of poison. But here's the thing. In Matthew 12, 36, Jesus says this. This gets pretty strong. Everyone will give an account for their careless words. Jesus said that. Everyone will give an account for their careless words. You think back over this morning. Did you use a careless word? Did I use a careless word? A word not thought out. Sure, it happens. Yesterday, day before. Yeah, we do it. Here's the thing. Sometimes we use words about ourselves. We boast. Look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. Look at me. We exaggerate. You know? Someone asked a one-armed man one time, said, well, how big was the fish you caught? He said he was that big. Well, that's not an exaggeration. But if you go fishing, someone say, who caught the most fish? Well, I did. You full well know that your buddy caught more fish than you do, but you want to look good, so you tell him you did. You caught the biggest fish, and he was about that big. And the other guys had one that big. We exaggerate sometimes. Now, we also do some selective reporting. We only tell what we want to tell. We tell part of it, not all of it. Because part of it makes us look good. If we tell it all, it makes us look a little bit bad. What about words that we use about other people? Criticism. Criticized anybody lately? Kind of just got all over them with your words. And probably not to them, but to somebody else. How about gossip? You didn't really know the facts, but you went ahead and said it anyway. Slander. Cruelty. Use your words to hurt somebody. Two-facedness. That's really a word. Where you say one thing, but you're thinking another. You look good here, saying it, but you're being two-faced. Happens. Use your words in anger. How about insincere flattery, where you act like you like them because you need something out of them? Happens, doesn't it? Here's the bottom line. The tongue out of control means that there's a life out of control. And you know what it boils down to? It boils down to this. When we use our tongue carelessly, like Jesus says, I'm going to hold you accountable for careless talk. When we use it carelessly, then the problem with it is that it shows our immaturity as a disciple. You expect somebody that's immature to say something out of place, but you don't expect a mature, Bible-thumping Christian to say something out of place, a disciple that is claiming to be all that they can be in Christ Jesus. Here's what James is asking. Who has control of you inside? Because whoever that is in there has control of your tongue. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, if it's not God, then you're trying to do it on your own, kind of. So it's about control. Who holds the reins that moves the horse? Who has their hand on the rudder of the ship to move it one way or the other? You see, if God's not that one, if the Holy Spirit living in us is not that person with the hand on it, we will say careless words. We will use our words to do bad things. And that's what this lesson is all about. A woman told the famous John Wesley. John Wesley was the father of Methodism. That man rode all over the countryside on a horse, hours and hours, and went from place to place preaching the gospel. A lady told him one time, said, Mr. Wesley, said, I know what my spiritual gift is. She says, I speak my mind. He said, ma'am, I don't think God would mind if you buried that gift. See, there's a lot of times where we need to hold our tongue. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to gag us, so to speak, so that we can't say anything. We need to have a tight rein on our own tongue so that we don't say the wrong thing. Sometimes words are directed from emotions. Now, I grew up hearing people say, oh, he just flew off the handle. He what? His emotions or her emotions got away with him. And they just said some things they really didn't mean. I've heard that on the news. How about you? Well, I said it, but I didn't really mean this. I meant that. That's damage control. No, you probably meant exactly what you said because it flowed from inside of you. And inside of you, you were harboring something or you were upset about something and you allowed it to come out because you did not allow the Holy Spirit to tame it in your life. Mature disciples, give control to the Holy Spirit in here. And it takes A lot of willpower, folks. A demeaning word to a little child. Oh well, they're small. It can ruin their entire existence on this earth. The wrong, harsh word, or like, you will never amount to anything. My wife, who is away right now working in Atlanta with our daughter, her daddy told her whole growing up life, you'll never amount to anything. And she had to fight low self-esteem all of her life. And still has trouble with it sometimes. What we say to people really matters, particularly to little people. But what about that well-timed, encouraging word? That well-timed where you take that child and you hug them and say, you are the greatest. You did so good. I am so proud of you. That is, if they've done something you can be proud of. But you don't discourage them for life. You give them an inner peace about who they are, and you teach them that God created them in His image. And you instill in them the fact that you can do anything through Christ Jesus. That God is the God of the impossible. That's what you tell a child. That's what you continually encourage in them. Proverbs 26:18-19 is a pretty interesting verse. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only kidding. The Bible is amazing when you start to get real with reading it. I'm going to tell you, it's something. The Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. God is mightier than the tongue. Uncontrolled words to anyone is an unwise thing for a disciple. James chapter 1 says, don't be double-minded. In chapter 3, he says, don't be double-tongued. Starting with verse 9, he says, look, you can't bless God with that same tongue you're going to curse men. Read it. It's in there. And he ends up by saying, brothers, this should not be. Think about Peter, the apostle. He's the one that we take the great confession from. He's the one that made it. God gave him that, Jesus said in Matthew 16:16. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then on the night that Jesus was betrayed and was on trial, what did Peter do? He used that same tongue to curse and to say he didn't know Jesus. He denied the Lord. James says, brothers, this should not be. What about John the apostle? John said, love one another. And then one day with Jesus, he said, Jesus, you speak the words and bring fire down and burn up the Samaritans, because we don't like the Samaritans. We hate them. Same mouth. And James is saying, brothers, this should not be. We should never have one vocabulary for Sunday and another vocabulary for the rest of the week, in home and at work or wherever we might be. I know that world. I lived it. Between 11 and 12, James says, you can't get salt water out of a fresh spring, and you can't get olives off of a fig tree. In other words, what's in here is going to come out. So in here matters really a lot. A true spiritually mature disciple cannot claim Jesus and use words of the bad guy. It doesn't work. Now let's read James 3:13 together. Here it is. Who is wise and understanding among you? James says in chapter 1, if you want to be wise, if you need wisdom, pray for it. Ask for it. But who is wise and understanding among you? Whoever that is, might be you, says, let them show it by their good life. They're really wise. The good life's going to come out by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom comes from here. Well, if we got godly wisdom in our mind and our heart, in our inner being, then we are going to do the good deed. We're going to say the good word. That's what he's saying here. And the question is, how will we make other disciples, which Jesus calls us to do, using words and living like somebody that's really ungodly? We can't. I'm not going to get anybody to come to worship with me if they know really how I live on the outside of this place. I got to be the same person all the time. My words have to be godly words, wise words, words that understand the mission. When I'm on the ground for the gospel, then the mission is the thing that I'm all about. My life is all about that if I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. The gospel on the ground, if we're seriously pursuing the unchurched, our words must be used wisely. I've said it and I'll say it again. So here's the word to the wise. Frank had you put a penny in the shoe. I had you do a list the first Sunday. We had you sign up for something last week. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I don't care how you do it. I want you to come up with it. It'll mean more if you come up with it. You can use the old string method, tie a string around one of your fingers, and every time you see it, it will remind you, before I speak, I'm going to think godly. Well, I am actually going to think before I say a word. I don't care how mad I get, how emotional I get, I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide my words. You may want to put an alarm on your phone, and every now and then it'll come up to remind you that you need to use godly words. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. He won't take control unless we allow Him to. God will not invade your free will space. He will not make you do anything. And I'm so glad, because it matters more when you are disciplined as a disciple to do it because you love God and you love Jesus and you love the mission. That's what you're about. And so we give Him everything.